first, let's just run through some very basic halachas. And then at the end, we'll spend some time going through ideas, some inyanim, some machshava, relating to sukkis and simchas Torah. Okay, so Rabbi Isai, let's just go through. Yesterday we spent time learning the laws of Kiddush and Sukkah. Today let's spend some time learning about the Dalid Minim. Let's just go through some of the very basic halachas of the Dalid Minim. Okay, we all know a lulav. What is there to look for in a lulav? Okay, Rabbi Isai, a lulav, the ikar is the lulav should be straight. It should be at least four tefachim tall. It should be straight. And when you look at lulav, you look for the center branch. Can you look for the center branch? You look for the center branch. The center branch should be completely sold. Completely sealed. You follow the shedra, you find the center branch, and you look, and it should be as closed as it can possibly be. If it's open a little bit, so it's also good. When you're going to shake the lulav on sukkah, it's very likely it's going to open up a little bit, as long as it does not open more than a tefach or roiv. Well, the different sheets, how much you can open, I don't remember the exact shoes, but basically it's the more it's closed, the better it is. And there is a controversial minhag. Some people do this. If you get a lulav, I used to do this all the time. I stopped doing this. I used to always do this, all my love that I would get for people. You buy the lulav, Erev Yom Tov, and you find the diamond. You find the lulav that's perfectly sealed. And I would then take Elmer's glue. I would take Elmer's glue and I would put a drop of Elmer's glue on the top, the tip of the lulav, to make sure that it stays closed.
Set up. Fifth what? There's only four minim. That would be a fifth. Elmer's glue could be
another. No.
Elmer.
If the lulav is pasul and it's already opened, a tefach or roiv, and you glue it, it's pasul. If it's pasul, it's pasul. There's nothing. It's pasul legarmi. Okay. You're not allowed to do that. If the lulav is completely closed, but what happens is sometimes by the time you take it home, you shake it in the street or you put it in your car. And by the time you get home, it shakes a little bit, and certainly when you start doing the nanum on sukkis, it's going to open, and it all depends. Sometimes it opens. So if you go and you immediately put glue on the tip of the lulav to keep it closed, that it should not open, so then you're going to have a perfectly sealed lulav for the remainder of sukkis. This eitzah is brought down in all of the svarim. It's all of the svarim. Every sefer on Hilchos Lulav tells you can do this. It's mutter. It's okay to do this.
Could you do the same thing on Yesrik for the acrylic?
No, you can't. You can't. And in fact, what they used to do. I mean, I have a very weak pitum. Put some glue to make sure it doesn't fall off. Lachar, you can do the same thing. And in fact, this became very controversial. They used to actually do this in certain lulavim they got from Egypt, if I'm not mistaken. They had a whole crate of lulavim. They would dip the whole crate of lulavim in some type of solution, which basically would harden the lulav, and that would prevent the branches from opening up. Now the problem was, well, half the lulavim in the crate are pasul. They're pasul, or they're no good. So by dipping it in the glue, you're making it close for the very first time. So then the glue, you're ruining Adarabba. It looks like it's closed, but it really was open, and the glue made it closed. So they said, but they go Basar Roy. Most of love when they cut off the tree are good. Okay, so they stopped doing that. They don't do that anymore, as far as I know. But this, people used to do this all the time. So it was a very good idea. I don't know, for some reason people don't like. Not everyone's so crazy about this anymore, including myself. So I don't do this anymore. I stopped doing this. You buy the lulav, whatever it is, You take your chance. It's good. It's closed. You keep it the way you keep it. It's closed. Now, today there's a new thing. Today, and it never was like this years ago, is that they sell lulav and mamish in closed. They sell them in cases. Right. It used to be called the dairy lulav. Well, they had their lulav a long time. It used to come, you have these cases of lulav, and you go through the lulav, and you go and you select. You go through the lulav one after another. You keep on looking until you find. Today, a lot of lulav, the high-end lulavim, not even the high-end, even the cheaper lulavim, they already come sealed in a plastic case. In a plastic case, like you look from Amazon, you have to take a knife to cut it open. It's a big pain to cut it open, to get it open. and it's sealed, and it's already checked for you, and you can look at it, you know, through the plastic to see if it's sealed. And they're high quality lavim. Some of them they charge a lot of money. They're graded. Some of them are more expensive. Some of them even $100. So some lavim. So okay, it varies. But the main thing to keep in mind is you get a little of the ikar is a little should be the taller the better. A nice thick green lulav, and the center branch, you find only the center branch should be as closed as possible, should be completely sealed as possible. Sometimes a little bit open, it's okay. Lechatchila should be as closed as possible. Okay, esroigim, what are you looking for? An esroigim, what are you looking for? That should be clean on top. The top third should be clean on top. What? How do you look at an esrog? You look at it at arm's length. You don't look at it like this with a magnifying glass in the sun. You look at it at arm's length. If it looks clean, it's kosher. If you take it very, if you when you look at an arm, you see a black spot. If you see three black spots, black, the main color that disqualifies is black. It's puzzle. It's puzzle. What? Three black spots at what? At arm's length. At arm's length, if you, the naked eye, can see three black spots in one area, okay, it's circular, so you can't in one area, it's puzzle. It's very rare to find today an esrog that's mamish puzzle. Because at arm's length, the spots are already not so noticeable, and to have three of them, it's very hard to say about any esrog that it's mamish puzzle. Is it mehudar? Well, the cleaner it is, the better. Now, when you see people going like this, what they're explaining is that a lot of times you don't know what you see. Our eyesight, we all wear glasses. Come on, 90% of the population wears glasses. Is that the way Hashem made us, that we should wear glasses? Is that the way we've been made? We're not, right? When Hashem made man, b'tzivyonam, man is supposed to see 20/20. So today people claim that our eyes are a little bit weaker. Even people who have good eyesight. So when you're holding it, when you're doing it like this, what you're really doing, this is what they tell you, is we're coming to clarify what exactly we are seeing. Now when I know exactly what it is this black, is it brown, is it white, is this a choser, did this ester get damaged, did it get pricked in the packaging, in the shipment, did something go wrong? I want to know exactly what I'm looking at. Now that I know exactly what I'm looking at, now when I hold at arm's length, I can make a better decision. I can now make a better assessment of what exactly I am seeing. So it's not, and also you're looking very carefully, you're looking to determine if it's choser. If there is a defect, sometimes when you have a spot, it's because the leaf on the tree, a leaf on the tree went and made contact with it when it was growing, and that it caused there to be a blemish on the surface. That's fine, that's natural. But sometimes there's actually something missing. Maybe a bug took a bite out of the estrog, or maybe in the shipment it got damaged. So if it's choser, then it's a problem, then it's no good. If it's a bletel, a brown spot, it's brown because a leaf went and made contact with it when it was growing, and that's why it looks a little bit different. That's fine. So sometimes, but if it's black, what does it even mean black? There can be mold. There can be all different types of things. So these are all different types of things. So basically,
there's a shear of chaser. Also, how deep down?
Okay, I'm not familiar with all the details. So basically, you just want something as clean as possible. Now, here's the following dilemma. I've always had this dilemma. This year, I found it written up, mamash, for the very first time. I always suspected this, but now I found it in writing. There's a machlekes haplaisim. It's very, very common. By the way, estrogim is the best, an estrog store is the best place to go and get to write a PhD for your dissertation for a PhD in psychology. you see all different types of people,
yeah,
how they relate to an estrog. They always say people have a hard time getting an estrog, have a hard time with shidduchim. You can't decide something. They can spend the whole day there with an esrog. You can't decide, and there's a joke. A mayor, you're going to love this joke, or mayor. The joke is the guy was in the esrog store, was driving the guy crazy, looking this and this and this. Mamish OCD, meshuga. So the Moicha Esrogim says, I don't understand. When you got married, you also went, it was doirish for choyker, such chakiris, until you got married. So the guy says, marriage, my wife, for a wife, I got a lemon.
You said all the spots that left are one area. What does that mean? Because you have one, you do.
No, you have to see it in one shot. If you have five black spots, but I only can see two in one shot, when I hold it arm's length, arm's length, I only can see two. In total, there are five. On the top third, the ikar is the top third.
So the spots are on the bottom?
Spots on the spots, you know, could be on top. I'm making a mistake. On the top is even one spot, I'm thinking. Even one spot. The bottom is three. I'm sorry. The bottom two-thirds, three black spots. The top third is one black spot.
One black.
But even black, you know, it's not even clear what black means. What does black mean exactly? I heard from someone there's no such thing even as black today. What is black at the time? The Gemara black means something different. Basically, it's almost impossible to disqualify an Eshek as possible. Okay, everybody say, it's almost impossible to disqualify. There's a Maaseh Rav Bick. They used to come and ask him, he was one of the biggest places in Bar Pocket. Everyone in the Shagas would line up to show him his Eshek. And he would ask, he would look at the Eshek, and he would ask the people, how much did he pay for this Eshek? So at the end of the day, he said, I'm looking at Eshekim the whole day. I must have seen thousands of Eshekim. I haven't seen one Pasul Eshek the whole day. And I also haven't seen one kosher dollar.
He used to do a different thing.
One kosher dollar.
Oh,
now one Pasul Eshek, when they tell me they paid for this $60, $70, $80, $100, wow, what a ripoff.
Now, the other thing he used to do. A Carl Jungerman that would walk in with an Eshek, what did you pay for it? $100.
Puzzle. Go gag. I'll give you one of that. Okay, you should know the biggest business Eshekim is in Lakewood. There are people in Lakewood that are Meister Nefesh for Torah. The imam don't have what to eat. Mm. And they're willing to spend on an Eshek $150.
On the Shver's?
That's how. No, not on the Shver's money. On their own money. On their own money. Their own free money. What? It's not so simple. You take money. You take money that you steal. It's possible. It's a mitzvah baba. You can't make a bracha. A mitzvah baba avera. Okay, no. Listen, Rabbi Yisrael, let's not be chayv. There are a lot of good people out there. Let's not everyone. Empty cans make a lot of noise. Okay, there are a few empty people out who get into the news and they ruin it for everyone. Deruba, deruba, there's some very good people out there. Yeah.
What's the significance of having it? So, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Why did they make it so difficult that we have to have an exact, beautiful looking?
So it's it appears Zek Haliv Yanveu. The answer is because there is an Indian. There are different reasons.
The
creates Hadar. The word Hadar means beautiful. There is an Indian, there is a Messiah. I don't, there's nothing more than a church. There's a very beautiful drush, we mentioned this before, is that in the Nusach HaTzfilah, we mention four things which are Shalem. Emunah Shalema, Refuah Shalema, what are the four?
Evan Shalema.
What?
Evan Shalema.
No, in Tzfilah, the Nusach HaTzfilah.
Oh,
Esrei, Aleph is Emunah Shalema. The Saf is Teshuva Shleima. The Achzirayin Beshuva Shleima Lefanecha. Reish is Refuah Shleima. Refuah Shleima. And Gimel is Geula Shleima. Geula Shleima. In the Nusach HaTzfilah, when we daven, if you say the Animams every day, we mention there are four things that we use the word Shleima, and those four words say the word spell Esreik. So Mela Esreik should be Shalem, should be perfect. You're asking a very good question. Why do people go out of there? It's obviously there is something to it. It's a mystical thing. People have it within them. Even though you take the mitzvah for 10 seconds, you take the lul of an Esreik, you make a bracha and you're done. It doesn't last very long, the mitzvah. There is something to it which is in our neshama, and there is a mesorah that a person should strive to have a beautiful Esreik. Now, besides the fact that psychology, here's the issue. Eshek is a Musar Haskel for this world. In this world, you cannot have it all. There is no such thing as Torah u'gedula b'mokoy mechad. There are people that are very wealthy, and there are people that are very big Talmidei Chachamim. To have both, to be an Oysher Muflug, and have success and be a big Talmud Chacham. It doesn't go like that. It's a mitzias. No one has everything. So what you have, someone else, so everywhere Hashem distributed all of the goods to different people. It is the same thing by an Esrog. There is no such thing. You're not going to show anywhere. You're going to find an Esrog that is absolutely gorgeous. That's big, symmetrical. The giddle is second to none, and is also perfectly clean. Perfectly clean. On the other hand, you'll find every so often an Esrog that is unbelievable. There's not one spot. It is, but those type of Esrogim rarely is the giddle something to talk about. Yeah, it's a nice Esrog. Yeah, it's small. It's this little on the bottom is a little crooked. This clean. Wow, I've never seen such a clean Esrog. I can take you to the store and I can show you clean Esrogim. I saw. Where was it? I saw a little teeny Esrog. It looks like a lemon almost. It's as clean as a whistle. And a Chazon Ish, a very nice, a nice Esrog. And then I saw Mamish. Oh, wow, this is an Esrog. And you look at it. Is it kosher? 100% kosher. Is it Mechudar? 100%. There's nothing to talk about. Is it perfectly clean on the top third? Perfectly clean? No. There's a little teeny brown spot here. There's maybe a bletel, a teeny little bletel here. It's pretty good, pretty good. Is it perfectly clean? Can't say. Is it kosher? 100% kosher. But it's not knocky, knocky, knocky mamish. Question. Which one of these two esrogim should you purchase? Is preferred? Yes. Preferred. The one, now, not talking about yichos. That's a different child. Like a child's a sotik miyuchos. I'm not talking about. The yichos is perfect. Everything is miyuch. Everything is we're not doing murkav. We're not dealing with murkav. We're not dealing with the question of yichos, murkav. We're dealing with the question of both good and miyuchosim. One is gorgeous, but it's not 100% naki. And one is naki, but it's not beautiful. Which one is preferred? So I finally came across this year. It's the machlokes apaiskim. The Chazon Ish was known to be makbid on naki. He didn't care what the Esh should look like. Obviously, it's a hit if it's a gidol. The Chazon Ish held the ikur is naki. There were many other gedolei. I can't give you the names because I don't remember. Many other gedolei Yisrael that no, they held the ikur is gidol. If the Eshug is a big gezunta geshmaka Eshug, even though it's not perfectly clean, as long as the spots are not spots which really make any difference in the halacha, if they don't make any difference in the halacha, they would prefer to purchase the one that has a beautiful gidl. There's one gadol who bought both. A lot of money to spend, so he bought one that was noki mamish and one that had a beautiful gidl. For the bracha, he made the bracha on the one that was noki, clean as a whistle, and for the nanuim in halal and the hoshanis, he went around with the one that had a beautiful gidl.
Shabbos?
What?
Shabbos?
No, Shabbos, there's no, you don't take it on Shabbos. We're talking about Shabbos. Okay, so this is a different meaning. I always had this argument with my brother. My brother is always into the noki. He always gets, like, you know, not such nice. He gets like a nice, you know, like his Esrog, he always gets clean as a whistle. I always go, I'm all for show. I'm all super, everything's for show. Everything's make believe. Live in the land of make believe. All for show. All chitzonius. I just have a geschmack, a nice giddle, even though it's not perfectly knocky. That's my netiyah. I just naturally, you'll show me, that's what I'm going to select. You show me for the same price, one that's naki, it's not ay, and one that's a nicer gil, that's 100% kosher. I'm always, that's just the way I am. That's the way Hashem made me. I'm going to go for the show. I like a good show.
What's a
gil? Gil means the shape, the appearance, the way the blitos. Ah, it's so nice, kashmak. You know, you have to break, come to shul. Ah, look at my Esrog. I got a nice Esrog. The other one is Noki Mamish. So this is a Machlekes HaPoiskim, the Chazon Ish, and those that follow in his approach go for the Noki, and then there's an approach that no, you should focus on the Gidl. The Gidl is more of a Mehudar, even though it's not 100% Noki, provided, of course, that the dots that you have on top are not dots which make any difference, which are not Makif. Okay, Hadassim. Hadassim has to be Mishulashim, L'chatchil, it should be, each level should have three Hadassim coming out of the same spot, and the Hadassim should cover the stem. Sometimes you have Hadassim and Mishulashim, but they don't cover the stem. Those are not as good, and sometimes it's not Mishulash all the way from top to bottom, Aravos, the very Aravos, the Lachatilus have a red stem, and Aravos, I want to warn you, they do not last. The Aravos, I don't know, I've tried every trick in the book over the years, every trick in the book you can possibly imagine. You put it in the refrigerator, you put it in the aluminum foil, you don't put it in aluminum foil, you put it in the plastic, and you do this, you put it in water. I've done it all. I have had no success with Aravos. I can tell you, I have no success. And now what I do is, the best thing is just to spend another $3, $4, $5, buy another set of Aravos, buy another set of the two sets, and change them the first day Chalmor, and then change it again by Hashanah Rabbah. And over Yom Tov, better don't put it in a Shmata. Because you put it in a Shmata, I've always found, when you put a lot of water, it causes the holder to become moldy.
Right.
So I find it, Yotzah Schorei Behefseda. I find the best thing is just wrap it up nicely in aluminum foil, keep it in a cold place, you know, maybe put a drop of water in the plastic on the bottom so there should be a little bit of moisture inside of the case. But everything is said and done. Don't expect your Aravos to last throughout the Sukkos. Just get new Aravos for another $3-4 to buy a new set of Aravos to put in on the Chol HaMoed. Yeah.
One, I found the cheapest place to buy a Aravos ironically in the neighborhood is Judaica place.
Okay.
It's $4 versus $5 or $6. Right. Right. Okay. Second thing is, it's interesting, the Five Town Jewish newspaper this week, it's Rabbi
Hanayer,
the whole thing about Hadassah.
Okay.
And you have to be very careful because he found and he showed pictures in it where they're not coming, the three coming out from one area.
They're not coming from the same spot. Yeah, it's a hiddur. It's not ma'akev.
He said he had a
stop.
He was saying that
there
may be
puzzles. Chumras. Okay, I hear what you're saying. These are chumras. They're good. You can't go say it's puzzle. What?
Even if
nothing mamish b'diyuk from the same exact spot, as long as it's close enough. Lenidna Torah lemalachi hasharis. I hear what you're saying. A lot of these moichrim, they're taking advantage. When I was a child, the only thing you really cost money was an esrog.
Right.
A lulav, they threw in with the esrog. Hadas and Aravos were a joke. They had on the table, they didn't even have hadas. There wasn't even what to look at. They had the official picture of Moshe was looking at hadas, and they had a hadas, the big bones of hadas, and they put on the table. You go and you select, no one made a big deal. Today, every little thing is a business.
It's all packaged.
It comes down in tubes. Really they could charge you for hadassim today, a top of one hadassim, which are pre-checked, yeah. Top to bottom, can be $50. I'm not joking.
What?
Three hadiyah. Yeah. And then you get the... Yeah, I'm not joking. And then there's special aravos that come from here and come from there. Lulavim? Lulavim is a big business. Some of the lulavim are more expensive than esrogim. The top of the line dairy lulavim that are perfectly sealed that have been pre-checked, they can charge you $100 easy. The dairy lulavim do not come from Israel. Dairy lulavim,
on the notice it says it's picked by Shomer Shabbos, not on Shabbos.
Not on Shabbos.
Yeah, I mean, like, who's going to go in the
they used to come from Egypt. The lulavim used to come from Egypt, Ruba de Ruba. Right. They're very shvach. The lulavim from Egypt are very poor quality. Very poor quality. The better lulavim
used to come from Phoenix, Arizona.
That's right.
What's that?
Yeah.
Somebody tell me that green lulavim, green esrog is the best.
Yeah.
You can't see the black dots.
it's not necessarily true. You can see the dots. You can see.
Okay.
So.
A lot of get your own aravos. If you have an aravos, a tree.
Yeah. Of course. Of course, but yeah. So definitely. So okay, put out. Okay, so basically, just the hadassim, just. Okay, now just to review the halachas. When you put it into the holder, the hadassim, the basic halachas, the hadassim go on the right side, and the aravos go on the left side. It doesn't make a difference if you're righty or lefty. In every situation, the hadassim are always on the right. The aravos are always on the left. When you make the bracha. When you make the bracha, so if you're a righty, you hold the lulav with the hadas and the aravos in the right hand and the esrog in the left hand. The reason, because even though the esrog is the most chashuv, but you have, it's the majority. Most of them, you're making the bracha al lulav, and you have three of the minim in the right hand. Therefore, you put the lulav and the hadasim and the rebels in your right hand, the eshug in the left. And if you're a lefty, you reverse. A lefty puts the lulav in his left hand and the eshug in his right hand. So nafkamina, which one is zoicha to stand next to the eshug? It's very interesting. If you're a righty, what is making contact with the eshug? The aravus. If you're holding the lulav in your right hand, what is on the left side? The aravos. What's next to the aravos? The esrik. So the esrik is having shaychis with the aravos. If you are righty, if you're a lefty, you're holding the lulav in your left hand. So which one is going to be next to the esrik? The hadasim. Isn't that amazing? Because each one of these four minim represent four different types of Jews. If you're righty, the eshreg, that's the tzaddik, that's the highest madrega, has a shaychus with the people who have nothing. The arava is leitam v'lereach. If you're a lefty, then the one that's the tzaddik has shaychus with the hadasim, which have reach and no time. Can you make a bracha? Can you smell the hadasim and the eshreg on the yomtif? No. It's also to do so. You're not allowed to smell the eshreg on Yom Tov, because it's muksa l'mitzvasai. So don't take your eshrog and smell it on Yom Tov. Do not take your on Shabbos. You're allowed to, though. On Shabbos you can smell the eshrog, because on Shabbos it's not hooked. Shabbos, you know, I think it's Shabbos mudra. I'm not so sure. Eshrog, and you make a bracha. Shenosan reyach toiv be ilana. I've got the bracha. There's a bracha in the Siddur. You make a bracha when you smell an eshrog. You make a bracha. Shenosan Reach toiv be'ilonois or be'peirois. It's a bracha. Look in the Siddur. You can make a bracha on Shabbos, but not on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, you're not supposed to smell the hadasim. You're not supposed to smell the eshrog, because it's muksa. It's muksa le'mitzvasa.
If you're holding it in the wrong hand, okay.
If you're holding the wrong hand, you have to take it. So the halacha is a good question. You have to take it again without a bracha. If you realize when you come home from shul that you took it in the wrong hand, take it again, but do not make a bracha. I think some hold the yoytze b'diavad if you take it in the wrong hand. When you make the
bracha, two hands?
No, you're supposed to hold it separately. You hold the lulav. It's very specific. The lulav is being held in the right hand and the eshrog in the left hand. Even when you do hashanis, the proper way is to hold it in two hands and to memorize the hashanis. Now, or. I don't know.
They have the shanis with the clip on it. They're all different. Off your wrist. Yeah.
Different techniques. They rip around your wrist. They're right. The shanis, right? You put it on your wrist. Or if you have no choice, what can you do? So you hold it in one hand. You hold it in one hand. You look at the shanis. Whatever. But ideally, all the rebbes. The rebbes have someone. They have a shanis and holds their shanis for them. They hold the two hands. The shamus, I don't know. Good question. He has to go to the early minion. He goes to the early minion. All the rabbis, you see, they're holding it the right way it's supposed to be held, and someone goes in front of them and holds for them the sitter. Today, if they have this technique where you put it around your arm, most people don't do this. They hold it in one hand. They hold the sitter, whatever it is. It is what it is. Okay. Now the eshrog you hold when you make the bracha, either lasiyasa, and they're different minhagim, but most people hold it upside down. The eshrog is to be held upside down when you make the bracha, and then after you finish the bracha, you turn it right side up. Other people have a minute where they just have kavana not to be yotze until they make the bracha. Okay, so when you make the bracha, my kavana is I do not want to be yotze the mitzvah until I finish making the bracha, and then when I finish making the bracha, and now I have going to be yotze, and you shake it, you shake it. Or again, I told you, you turn it upside down. So the bracha should be over la'asiyasim. You shake. We all know you shake in six directions. Ashkenazim, you go clockwise. Mizrach, and then you go to the south, back, to your left, up and down. There are different minhagim. Most people do not turn their body. You stay in one location. You stay put, and you go forward three times. As you go forward, you shake, and then you stay put. And you move to your right. You move it. And now, do you turn it, or do you move it? Do you hold it forward and go like this, or do you turn it and go like this? There are different minhagim. I've seen it all. Ruba de ruba, you stay put. You go this way. You go back like this. You don't turn around. You go back. If you up,
turn around, you see who you
and you don't take it, turn upside down. Don't take it when you go down. You don't take right. it, turn upside down and go down. I think down? There is a shita. It could be there is a shita that says you should do that. You should bamish, turn upside down, but no one does that. Okay, that's strange. You don't do that. And okay, there are some people though they actually turn around. They have everyone has their own minhag. The nanuim we do is to do the basic halachas. You do the nanuim, you make the bracha. You do the nanuim by all four hoidus. When the chazan says hoid l'Hashem kitav kil yilam chasto yoyimar no yisrael kilam chasto yomino beis aron yomino yirei Hashem. You do the nanuim only when you say the words hoidu l'Hashem kitav kil yilam chasto four times. When you the tzibur. The person who is in davening in shul says the words Yoimar no Yisrael or Yoimar no Yomru no Beis Aharon Yomru no Yirei Hashem Yomru no. When I skip, when you say the word, when you say the word Yomru, you the person who's davening in shul does not shake at all. However, if you are the shaliach tzibur, then you do it the first two times when you say Yomru no. What do you have to say? You say, "Hoydu Lashem Kitov Kili Olam Chasto," and Yoimru No Yisrael Kili Olam Chasto. The Shliach Tzibur says it when he does, when he recites the two introductory phrases before the Tzibur responds. The Shliach Tzibur does not shake it when he does the last two. Yoimru No Beisaharon, Yoimru No Yirei Hashem. The Shliach Tzibur does not. So if you're davening for the Amud, you do it, you shake it only when you say the first two expressions, and the last two you do not. But the Tzibur, when they respond with the words Hoidu LaHashem Ki Tov Ki Liolam Chasto four times, they do it all four times. Next, Ana Hashem Oshiyana, we shake. Ana Hashem Atzlichana, we do not shake. Okay. Okay. Then what's the drush on that? What's the drush? Why do we do that? Why do you not shake for holy Elisha? There's a very, very deep. There's a very deep idea. It's a very, very profound idea, and that is when a person needs salvation, so you got to shake. You got to do your hishtadlus. You got to do your hishtadlus. Shaking means do your hishtadlus. If I'm in trouble, I need help. I need parnasa. So the biggest school of a parnasa is work, four-letter word. You have to go get a job. It's not going to happen by itself. You have to do your shtalos. But if you already have a job, and the question is, am I going to get a bonus? Am I going to go and be picked up by someone else to be offered a better job, take notice of me and be successful? There's nothing you can really do. The only thing you can do is be mispala. Once you've done your hishtadlos, you're doing your hishtalos, and now you want success. Hatzlacha, you don't have to shake. There's nothing more to do. Hatzlacha is a gift min hashamayim min mispala. I've done my hishtalos, I've shaken in order on Hashem Hashina, but siyat hashmaya, that comes with hatzlichan, you do not shake. And then again, we do it at the end. At the end, we do again, for hoidi l'Hashem ki tov ki liolam chasto, we do it again. Some have the minhag to do the dal to make the bracha in the sukkah. It's a beautiful minhag. If you can do it to make the bracha of the dalad minin in the sukkah, you bring together the two mitzvahs. There are some shuls which have a sukkah and they have a break before they begin halal. They allow people to go into the sukkah to make the bracha on the dalad minin in the sukkah. The advantage of making the bracha on the dalad minin before you recite halal is that the bracha that you make asher kedushan b'mitzvos l'sonu al netilas lulav is not only going on the shaking of the lulav when you make the bracha, but also goes on the nanuim that you will do during halal. And also, if you're doing Hoshanis, it will go on the Hoshanis. And therefore, there's a very important nafkamina, not to be mafsik. We mentioned this yesterday, not everyone was here, that if you are making the bracha for the first time before you recite halal, after you make the bracha, and you shake when you make the bracha, do not speak. Do not be mafsik, because the bracha that you have made is now also chal upon the nanuim that you're going to be doing during halal. If you're going to get into a conversation before you begin halal, when you waited for the shliach tzibur to start, you blew it. You had an opportunity to make a bracha right before halal, and now you're mafsik before you start halal. You've blown it. You've done something that's really, really bad. So don't speak between the time you make the bracha and the recital of halal. And if you daven the shul, daven's nusach svard, don't speak after Hallel until you finish the Hoshanas. Because the bracha that you make on the Dalit Minim is also Chal upon the Hoshanas that you walk around. You're holding the Dalit Minim in your hand, you're walking around. It's also a kiyum of the Nanuim to take the Dalit and walk around the Bima, walk around the Sefer Torah. So a person should be careful not to speak until you finish all of the Hoshanas. Yes? Question? The Musaf. So then you have no choice. Then you have no choice. So then there's going to be a hefsek of Kriyas HaTorah. So it is what it is. It is what it is. Yeah.
Significance of making the bracha in the sukkah.
Yes.
Why?
Well, what was it?
Why make it in the sukkah?
Because you mitzareif the two mitzvahs. Since the Torah gave us on sukkahs two separate mitzvahs, it has to be that the two mitzvahs are connected. And indeed they are, because the Anani HaKavod, they sheltered us from the elements. Why do we shake the lulav in the six directions? The more the simple reason is to prevent. We shake it in six directions as a way to ward off ruchois rois. You know, think about it. We just went through two hurricanes, two devastating hurricanes, caused this country irreparable damage. And when was the nigzar? Those two. Well, when was the nigzar? Those two hurricanes, which caused a loss of life, a loss of mamon. And you think in New York it doesn't affect you? The price of gas goes up instantly. There's a hurricane, so that's it. They shut down the refineries. Yeah. The price of gas goes up like that. Yeah. The whole economy is changed. Everything's and then besides, the person has property, they have relatives in the tsaros, in the tsaros and shal Yisrael, and the tsaros and other people, but every human being has tsar. It's not a good thing. When was it nigzar? It was nigzar on Rosh Hashanah. We now have an opportunity by shaking the lulav in the four ruchos to prevent hurricanes. Ruchos rosh, that's what it's all about. Hurricane season, what's going to be the next hurricane season, all depends upon how good our kavana, how sincere we are when we shake the lulav in the Dal Ruchas. What is the sukkah? The sukkah was to protect us. It's a shelter from winds and rain and all different types of the elements. So the two are definitely related. So therefore, it's a very beautiful thing if you go can bring together the two together to make the bracha and Dal Minim in the sukkah itself. Yeah, question? Yeah.
The back of the spine of the lulav
Yes.
Face you?
No, the spine faces you. Yes, the spine faces you. The spine should face you, and the other side faces the forehead. You take the lulav the way it grows. The lulav grows with the spine facing up. That's the way. So therefore, you take gidulosin. So you take it in that fashion. Okay, a lulav that's bent, you should not take a lulav that's. Be careful. The lulav should be straight. It should not be bent. Okay. Running out of time. There's other halachas about. Okay, if you should take off your tefillin before you do the nanuim, that's what it says. If your meaning is to wear the tefillin during Hallel, for whatever reason, the very least you should remove the ritzuas from your hand. There should be nothing being mafsik between your hands and the dalid, the meaning. So those, I don't know the different minhagim. It seems some, what? Yeah, well, it depends. There are many minhagim. The tefillin is a very sensitive thing in Chol HaMoed. Some people do not wear a tefillin, period. Some wear it b'tzina. Some wear it during davening only until after Shemona Esrei. Some wear it, I don't know, they wear it until Musaf. If you happen to be wearing tefillin when you are during Hallel, maybe somewhere during Hallel, you should at least remove the ritzuos from your hand. There should be nothing being mafsik between your hand and the ritzuos. That is a hider. People do not know this. It's a hider that it should be a good achas to make a kesher shel kayama. When you put in your hadasim and your aravos into the lulav, there's a hider to take in a lulav. Okay, not to have a ring. In addition to the ring, is to take. You see, a lot of talmidim they do this. They take a lulav branch and to mamish to make a kesher shel kayama around the hadasim and the aravos in the holder. It's not because when you put it in the holder, that's not what I don't know. The holder is just keeping it there, but it's not necessarily called a kesher shel kayama.
Actually, they make two because you have the three rings. And then they had two.
There's a minhag to have either three rings or two rings, and then you have the actual holder, and you also the minhag to put a ring around the holder. These are all minhagim, but in addition to putting a ring around the holder, or instead of putting a ring around the holder, it's much better to take an actual lulav branch and to tie a permanent knot. On Shabbos, if you forget to put everything together on Shabbos, you are permitted 100% to put it into the holder and attach it to the lulav on Shabbos, but of course you're not allowed to make a kesher shel kayama on Shabbos. That you may not do. You can put the rings on. You're not allowed to make a ring. You're not allowed to make the rings. You're not allowed to make rings on Shabbos. That cannot be done.
But you can do anything.
What? You can if you need to change them. You're allowed to put in the adasim and the revels into the holder, and you're allowed to put the holder on the lulav, and you're allowed to take the rings that already have been made before Yom Tif and put anan shachar. And put the rings. So you can pretty much you can put everything together. B'diavad lechatzila not on Yom Tif. You can put it together, but do not cut. Sometimes they're too long. You want to cut, you can't cut it. The hadasma is supposed to be above, and the hadasma is supposed to be a tefach above the aravas, and the lulav is higher. We only have three hadasim. There are some chassidim Lubavitch. They have 12 hadasim. Hadasim. Some have what? No, there's no alchaysim on that. Hadasim. Even that we have three. There are never been hogman how many hadasim. You'll see by chassidim they had a lot of hadasim. Hadasim is a big thing by them. Hadasim is a big thing. Many many hadasim. Okay, so the nanuim case. So we just now. Are you allowed to put in water? You're allowed lechatchila to put your back in water. There is no issue whatsoever. They say that you should not change the water. You're not supposed to change water, but you can put it back in the original water that you used. The first day you have to own it. You should not. If you want to, someone wants to get you wants to borrow yours, you have to give it to them b'matana al menas lahazir. You have the first day is the rice. You must own your dalid minim, and therefore you should not give it to a child before you are yotze the mitzvah, because a child can take but cannot give back. Another adult, you give it to him a matana al menas lahachzir. Yes, you have to give it to your wife as a gift. Yes, you have to give it to her al matana al menas lahachzir. Okay.
That's right.
Hashanis. Now, the last day of Hashanis is minig. Not everyone knows this minig. That when you come to the last Hashanah, Hashanah number seven, you take off the rings.
Really?
Yep. Supposed to take off the rings. Okay. You hold the Hashanis. Hashanah number seven.
The rings on the finger.
The rings. What?
The rings on your finger.
On your finger? No. You take the rings off the lulav. Don't forget to do that.
Why?
That's what you're supposed to do. That's what it says. We know these are all very mystical. You're supposed to take the rings off when you come to the last Hashanah, on Hashanah Rabbah. Okay, an Ovel does not go around. An Ovel does not participate in Hashanah. He stands on the sidelines. He holds the Torah. He holds the Torah. He does not participate. What? Yes, you absolutely say it. You say it, but you're not going to. On Shabbos, you say Hashanah. Don't forget. People forget. Shabbos, you say Hashanah. In the regular time, you don't take out the Sefer Torah. You open the Oroin, and that's Zehu. You open the Oroin, and you see people always forget from year to year, what do you do on Shabbos? You open the Oroin. Yes, you open it, but you don't take it out. We know Hashanah Rabbah. You buy Hashanah's five. Five out of us, five, and you tie it together on the bottom to the east to be these, put it with rubber bands. Today we live in a new dar, such a firm generation. They're rubber bands, it's not minoy, so they don't want to use rubber bands, so they use our rubbers. Wow, gosh, the chumis of this dar, unbelievable. They tie it together, the five aravas, with a piece of lulav. Why is lulav better than rubber band? It's not the same min. I don't know, it's not the same min. If you want to tie it together with the Sun-Min, you have to tie it together with an Arava. With an Arava. Yashan Arava. If you want to tie it together with the same Min, L'chayush, tie it together with an Arava. Not with the Lulav branch. So if you're using a Lulav branch, so you might as well use a rubber band. It'll stay together better. So
I, work.
What?
You can't tie it with an Arava.
So then what's the purpose of tying with the Lulav? I don't understand how that works.
Okay.
What?
Rubber bands are okay?
Yes, rubber bands are okay. Yes, rubber bands, that's tradition.
Great.
Tradition in America. Until recently. In America. Minhag America, until recently. No, all the Gedolei Yisrael used rubber bands. It was never an issue. How many? Five. How many times do you clap? Five. Not 1,000.
You don't have to make sure that the leaves are
right. You don't have to make sure the leaves fall off. You clap five times. That's Zehu. Five times. Where do you clap? On the ground. Not on a chair. Not on a chair. Don't move the furniture. Not on the table. The floor. You clap on the floor. Not on people. People have to know the halachas. Five times. When at the very, very... What?
What's the reason for
the chavata? It's called chavata.
I don't even know. I don't know. It's Kabbalah. It's Yonei Kabbalah. It's very, very mystical. Everything, it's not for today. It'll take very long. Okay. Okay. What else? Shmini. So I have Shmini Atzeres. Okay. Shmini Atzeres. Don't forget, you make a Shechianu Shmini Atzeres. Let me just see if there's anything else I want to tell you about.
The opposite of
We only have 5 seconds. I'm going to go straight. I'm going to tell you a few more things. We'll go straight to the very, very end. A little more halach and a little minog and a little drush for the last 15 minutes. Okay, let's talk about very briefly Shmini Atzeres. Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah is a modern minog. Simchas Torah.
Yeah.
Simchas Torah has come into our minhag about 450 years ago. The one that introduced.
Yeah, that's all.
450 years ago was introduced the meaning of Simchas Torah.
Where was it introduced?
The Arizal. Where did the Arizal live? He was the one that started Simchas Torah. Right. It comes 100% from the Arizal.
No Rishonim that
mention it. The Goyim do talk about that. They do have. They do have. It's not necessarily true. Wait. Hakafai. So let's clarify. Simchas Torah does go back to the Goinim, even before the Rishonim. Right. That on Shmini Atzeres you lay in the Zois HaBracha, right, and you are Messiahim the Torah. Our meaning is we finish the Torah once a year. We Messiahim it on Shmini Atzeres, the Zois HaBracha. Simchas Torah, to celebrate the Siyum HaTorah, goes back from the time of the Goinim. Okay, way 1,000 years back, almost 1,000 years back. Hakofos, the fact that we take out the Sifrei Torah from the Aron HaKodesh and we walk around the Bima 7 times and we sing and we dance on Simchas Torah, that is a modern minhag. That goes back 450 years from the Arizal. But the fact that we rejoice, in fact, we bring that rice, they would sing and dance. They would sing and dance and celebrate the Siyum HaTorah 1,000 years from the time of the Goyim on Shmini Atzeres. Yes, on Shmini Atzeres. No, the second day Shmini Atzeres. Chutz Liaretz. The Chutz Liaretz. What? No, the first day is Geshem and it's Yizkar. And that's the first day. The second day is Sveikah de Yoma. They read the Zois HaBracha. The Zois HaBracha. We're going back 1,000 years. Okay. And they would actually celebrate. They would celebrate the Siyum HaTorah. The Arizal, 450 years ago, made the last day Simchas Torah more elaborate by taking out the Sifrei Torah and walking around the Bima 7 times, reciting Piyutim, the way we sell Akbar with Yakafis. So don't people make a mistake and think, oh, Simchas Torah, it's a modern minhag. Not so quick. The only thing that's modern about Simchas Torah is the Hakafis. The Hakafis. But the fact that we celebrate the Siyum HaTorah, that goes back 1,000 years to the Goyim.
What did they do when they took 3 years to do the Torah?
So they celebrate every 3 years. Every year, there's a question, is it 3 years or 303 and a half years? That's a very interesting question. The different Mekoros, how they broke up the Torah in ancient times, the different sources, how many parashios there were. Either 3 years or 3.5 years. In Mishnah Seifrim, in the Masechet HaSefer, it says 3.5 years, but other sources say it was every 3 years. When do they do it? It's not exactly clear when they had the celebration. But the commentary today is, of course, we do it on Shmini, the second day, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah. So they have a differentiation between these two. How many Sifrei Torah? Now, it's very fascinating. The meaning of our Hakafos is very, very fascinating. There are many different minhagim. We do today, almost everyone here does it twice. You do it at night, and you do it by day. By Nusach Svar, they have an abridged version on the night of Shmini Atzeres. Okay, now, what? Chassidim, Chassidim,
there are some that do it on by day also.
Right, there are some, that's rare. Some do by day. Now the truth is, it appears the original minhag, believe it or not, was to do it only on Simchas Torah, was to do it by Mincha and Mincha also. No one does it by Mincha. The original minhag appears to have been done on Simchas Torah, so it says in the books over here, in the modern with Simcha, it's all the sources. You do it on Simchas Torah at night, by day, and by Mincha. And then, and the Arizal appears, he held the Iker time to our coffers, believe it or not, was Motsoi Simchas Torah. Motsoi Simchas Torah, when Simchas Torah is over, and when you daven, this year would be Friday night, it would be Shabbos. It would be Shabbos. When Yom Tov is over, before, that's the Iker's time to do HaKofas. Not on Simchas Torah. Well, they don't.
Mamish to the end.
So what?
Mamish by the end.
No, but when it's Sefer Chaim, they dive Marif. They dive a Marif. They don't do it afterwards.
Scroll, they do it at night.
For young, for the people.
Hakav
Shnius, because that's only out of practicality, because the people who are the people from Chutz Liaris observe today's Yom Tov. But me Iker Hadin is man to do the Iker. It seems from the Arizal that was really his kavana that our kavah should be made not on what we call Simchas Torah, but should be done Motzoi Simchas Torah. No one does that. Yeah, it's unheard of to do that. But no, we don't do that minch either. The minch somehow the minch evolved. Now, how many Sefer Torah do you take out? And every shul take them all out. They think B'liyot, everyone taking out. That wasn't necessarily the original minhag. The original minhag, it's not so simple. What are you taking all the Sefer Torah for? It's precious goods. What do you, Sefer Torah is a davar kodesh. It's a very holy object. You don't just play around with the Sefer Torah. You take it out and you dance with it. Who gave you a right to take all the Sefer Torah from the Aron HaKodesh? The minhag used to be taking only 3 Sefer Torah. Then it turned into 7. Then it turned into 10. Then it turned into 13. Then into 18. 22. If you have some Sefer Torah, who has some Sefer Torah? And then turned into all. He has sources in all of the old shuls, exactly how many Sefer Torah were taken out. It's not so simple. We take them all out. We're not even blinking, but that's not necessarily the way it was done originally. 3, 7, 13, 10, 13, 18, 22, whatever this means. Now, we only take out Sefer Torah. Rav Meir Shapiro, the famous founder of the Daf Yomi, I don't know if he invented this minhag or this was his Messiah. They took out the Sefer, they lined up for the first Hakafa, they took out the Sefer Torah, they gave it to the Zakenim, and they gave all of the Bachurim, the young boys, Gemaras. They would stand before, you would say, Onor Hashem, Hashiyana. So everyone in the shul held something. Everyone goes Hakafa. So the Zakenim held in their hands Sefer Torah, and every Bachur held in his hand the Gemara. They say that's the mistake. They say Rav Chudna did this. That's right, but it wasn't. He was not the one who invented this.
No, he did it on Shmini Atzeres.
On Shmini Atzeres, but he's not the one who invented this. The first record, at least, he brings down the Ma'alim Simcha was Rav Meir Shapiro, the inventor of the Daf Yomi. This is where, and he also brings down. They gave children sidurim. To each his own. Like today we have a Siddur party and a Chumash party. Here, Rabbi Yisrael, please, you come to shul with what they gave you at your last party. You have a Sefer Torah, the Bachurim have Gemaras, the children come with Sidurim.
So you always had 7 Hakafas?
They asked, a very good question. How many Hakafas? Because that's the next topic of discussion. How many Hakafas? So we, the Gra had 7 Hakafas, and many had 7. But now some had a minute to have 3 hakafas. Then the Sedna is brought down in Krakow, in the shul in Krakow. No one knows what this means. The minhag was, get a load of this, 3.5 hakafas. And indeed, Chabad, Lubavitch, Ad Hayoyim Hazeh. That's what it says here in the Sefer Moedim Simcha. Minhag Chabad is the night of Shmini Atzeres, 7. The night of Simchas Torah, 7. The day of Simchas Torah, 3.5.
Because they're drunk.
What does it mean? What is where does 3.5 come from? It's a mystery. Half of 7, the Shiloh 3 of 7. You only walk around the Bima half a time. You walk around the Bima only until you come to the other end. You don't walk all the way around.
What is Atah Harais? It's big business.
They're
selling it.
Atah money. Amcha Yisrael Shichem and it's a peel. You're supposed to add to Haresa, so they sell it. Whatever, it's a peel. It's a peel. Everyone's a universal. Everyone's supposed to say the peel. The minigas say verse by verse. And you should know that some shuv you can make out of it. You can make out of it and make it very nice. In some shuv they just rattle it off. There's no time. I was very moved the first time I saw this in the Chaim Berlin. I really made a very big gesture. They did it in a very beautiful way. And there's someone there, there's the gabai, and they actually have a nigun. They mamash have a nigun. How they call out the persons, and they go, No, there's a certain nigun. No. They say the person's name. They say is the name. They call him up to the Torah. They don't call him by his last name. They say, Ruvain ben Chaim is Mechubed. They say the pasuk, with this pasuk. The person comes up to the front. Not like what they do in every single shul. They just call out, and the guy in the back, he says it out. The guy, he comes up to the front, and he stands in front of the podium, and he says the pasuk. Everyone responds, and they say, then they call him up with a nigun, and it's very clear. It's a very big kavod, and it totally changes the whole tone. The whole tone. You start off the whole Simcha Sarah with a very bakavadika. It made a very reversion on me. It's not what I'm used to. I mean, you go to shul, you go here, you go there, and you're out there, you right away move the chairs, and then you start a kafis. It creates a very different setting. It's all what you make out of it. You want to make Simcha Sarah chashev, you can make it chashev. You want to just get it over with and get drunk and do nairish things, no, to each his own. There's another minig. Another minig is in the, you take out all the Sifrei Torah, and in the Aron Kodesh, Rabbi Sakhi, what do you put in the Aron Kodesh? What do you put? So you put a chumash, people with a chumash, snappy, empty. But there's a minig kadmon to put a ner. A ner, don't burn down the Aron Kodesh. Be careful, it's not a joke. Some Badafka stopped it because there were fires that broke out. Because of this, you put a ner. Why do you put a ner? All the farshim, the kadmonim, they struggle with this.
Torah,
but there's another makar for the minig, a beautiful reason for the minig. People, you know, the hamoinam, they wonder, what's in the Aron Kodesh? You know, especially a person who's not religious, a guy, you come into a synagogue for the first time, they see there's the big aura and there's a safe face, they see, what are they keeping there? What's in there? They must put there the goods, the books, right? The accountant keeps the books in there. What's in there? The Torah. Oh, the Torah is in there. Okay. It's very valuable. What else is in there? Okay. You put the Torah scrolls in there. What else you got in there? The money, right? You got the money. You got the shul's cash, right? The pushka. Come on. What else you got in there? You have some paintings? You have some goods? And Simchas people, it appears, is an amazing, amazing thing, Rabbi said. People always suspected that in the Aron Kodesh, they put their other things. They put their other valuables. They put their jewelry. They put their other things that are valuable. On Simchas Torah, you take out all the Sifrei Torah. You take them all out. You give out all Fakafis, and then you put a big ner in the Aron Kodesh. You light it up. Everyone should come and look and see, there's nothing else in here. It's empty. You say you're putting in a chumash, it shouldn't be empty, right? Some people, they put a chumash in the Aron Kodesh, it shouldn't be empty. Oh, chas v'shalom, the Aron Kodesh is empty, chas v'shalom. Put a chumash. Oh, you put in a ner. Oh, Torah or. It shouldn't be empty. It should be a pum fakert. You put a ner in the Aron Kodesh to illuminate the Aron Kodesh. Not everyone has such fancy Aron Kodesh. They have lights, LED, this, that. You know, say they're all illuminated. But not everyone in ancient times had such fancy Aron Kodesh where they were illuminated. You put in a ner to show the oilam. Everyone comes in Simchas Torah. You know, they have goyim used to come. Politicians used to come. It used to be a big day. Yeah. All the kings would come. It was the day when you would invite the kings, the governors, and the dukes, the bishops, everyone should come and participate and see the Kavanah Torah. You put in the Aron HaKodesh Ner to illuminate it, to show the world. Ein lanu shiur rak haTorah hazos. The only thing that's valuable to us in this world is the Torah. Nothing else counts. Look, it's empty. It's mamish empty. There's nothing in there. This is our prize. Possession, this is the safe, this is the makom where we put our most valuable, greatest valuables. You would think we have gold and silver and jewelry and deeds and books and who knows what. Look, everyone's coming to the shul on this day to take a look. It's nothing. Ein lanu shiur rak haTorah hazos. This is the most chashuv thing to us, all we got. Beautiful. It's amazing, amazing insight to Fataych. A minig, you never would know. This is the pshat in the minig. Okay, there's another minig. I go Simchas Torah at night, where yeshiva around the corner, they do this. So yeshiva is always very makhmut to do this. Is when you do hakafis, he gives little boys, they give them candles. They give two candles, two yard side candles. And they walk backwards. And when the person holds the Sefer Torah, on a Hashem Oshiana, when he does that, each hakaf, all seven hakafis, very makhmut on this. Rabbi Mark, the yeshiva, and the Ruach Torah, Ruach HaTorah, around the corner on Ocean Avenue between I and J, he gives two little boys, each one holds a yard side candle, special yard side, they're not going to get burnt, and they basically walk backwards in front of the person who has the hakafis, who leads the hakafis, with two neros. Why?
Because
the neros should be towards the Sefer Torah. The boys, the person who's carrying the service is going forwards.
Right.
And the children are holding the naros.
Yeah.
They're facing the right. Sefer Torah holding the naros. The naros so facing.
Forward also.
But they're walking backwards. They're walking backwards.
They're walking backwards.
They're holding the narrows. Walking backwards as they go around. Why? It's basically it's the same reason why you light a candle before you daven for the Amud. Why do you light candles? When we turn on the everything's electric. I'm sure a lot of kishuls have. But candles, why? It's a pasuk. Kibdu es Hashem beurim. Give honor to Hashem with lights. With lights. The main reason why you light the turn on the menorah before you daven mincha, ma'ariv, whatever it is to give cover to Hashem. Kibdu es Hashem beurim. So there's a minute. This a minute kadmain. That you when you escort the Sefer Torah, you escort it with lights. Like you take the chas and kal down the chuppah. So the parents hold in their hands. They hold candles. It's a kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is how it is. This is a minute. And therefore, Milat Simchas Torah. Certainly, when you go and you escort the Sefer Torah around the bima, kibdu es Hashem beurim. Now, it's also brought down. They used to dance very elaborate dancing on Simchas Torah with candles. That used to be part of the dancing. Okay, these jugglers. You go to a wedding. That is a makar. That is an ancient minig bedavka. It's also Simchas Shoeva. And it seems that a lot of the Paiskim, this is a halachic challenge because you're not really allowed to handle Eish on Yom Tif if it's not Litzarech Eichel Nefesh, and especially when you're causing it to go out, when you're juggling with the Eish and you're walking around, it's causing it to go higher, go lower. It's not so simple. And they struggle why it's permitted to do such a thing on Yom Tif, on Simchas Torah. Okay, now it also points out that this minhag to a very big degree has been abolished purely for one reason, safety. There were some terrible tragedies that happened over the generations when they were very makbid on with fire, with the neros, and safety first. Okay, so if it cannot be done in a very, very safe way, don't play with fire. Who needs it? Don't get yourself involved with these type of things. So that's why we very rarely see this today. Today, it's very, very weird because we're not disciplined. Everyone is running around. Everyone's jumping into each other. So therefore, it's very hard.
I don't think they're talking about kids. It used to be kids that would have an apple on it and
a candle on top.
All
right, so today, it's not a good idea, obviously. It goes without saying. It's not a good idea because of the sakana.
Rabbi, what's the problem with people stand,
okay, it's a very, very, but he has a whole chapter here. Moedim's been devoted to that topic. It's a big, big problem, and there is no answer. You're not allowed to sit when the Sefer Torah is in motion. When the Sefer Torah is in motion, you're not allowed to do this. So therefore, and there were G'dayli Yisrael that went out, they came in for when they said the piyut, on Hashem Oshiyana, and then for the remainder of the dancing, when as long as the Sefer Torah were, they said they walked out of the shul because they felt that it's not halachically permissible to remain sitting to sit when the Sefer Torah is in motion. Halacha l'maisa, no one's machmed on this. Kamat, no one is machmed on this. The only time there is an intimate machmed is at least during the beginning of the hakafa. In the beginning of the hakafa, when they say on Hashem Yishiyana and they're walking around, then a person should make an extra effort to stand. And when they finish walking around, so if you're not going to participate in the dancing, so the minhag ha'olam is to be very lenient and to sit down. That's the way. Only on Simchas Torah. Now Haliyah, so I never knew that Haliyah. So we give it everyone Aliyah, and Simchas, everyone gets an Aliyah. And usually you can read 100 times, right? There's no limit. It seems that in ancient times there was a hakpada not to do it more. That everyone has a certain number. I don't know where this comes from. Not to lay more than four times. That's four cycles. We don't. Today there's no limit. Today everyone, they take different leaning stations. Go here, go there, this, that. But that was not the way it was done originally. Originally, there was no leaning stations. You only lay in one place. And if you have 100 people in the shul, guess what? Not everyone's getting an aliyah. Only four rounds, it says. Not more. Why? Where does it come from, four rounds? There's a calculation. You're not allowed to give a certain amount of, I don't know why, maybe during what? Then there's whatever it is, you're not allowed to do more, but you have to, I don't know. Today, honestly, we...
Because you're voracious after
okay, the minhag today of giving of chasam Torah, chasam Bereishis, that's also a new minhag. It's not really clear how this came about. The laning at night is a very big problem. The minhag Yisrael is to lane at night. Everybody says to lane at night, to lane at night. There is no mikar anywhere b'chol haTorah kula to lane at night, with a bracha. It's the only time. It's a very big challenge in halacha. How we are permitted to do this? How are we permitted to lane?
How are we permitted when Achnas says the Torah?
To lane, they don't make a bracha when they do that. Ruba de ruba, 90% of they don't lane. They very rarely lane today. Today it's a very religious, very firm world. Today you very very rarely see it anymore. It used to be they used to lane. You don't see it anymore laning by Achnosas Sefer Torah. And if they do lane by Achnosas Sefer Torah, they will not make a bracha. Right. And that's very problematic for halachic reasons. Okay, there are some makoros that they do permit laning, even with a bracha. I once saw a whole article on this. It's not common today. But laning at night, there is no halacha, yet it is the minhag, it is even the Gra. I think even the Gra did it. There's a minhag, this is the minhag Yisrael is to do. That I remember my father's Zechon Levracha, so my father, they asked my father, how many aliyahs should you lane? So there are some shuls, they lane five aliyahs. Right. And some shuls lane three aliyahs.
At night.
Three, some do five. Yeah. A lot of shuls do five, and some even do more. Some even do, I mean, they have whole cheshbonis. My father, he says, it's a very challenging issue to lane at night. So kol apoiches, whoever does less is better. Since the Chazal, they question what, and if you don't have, you're telling me there's no minhag kavua what to do. There's no minhag kavua what to do. So you want to establish the minhag for the very first time. So it would seem the appropriate thing is less is more.
So probably it was very poor lighting. Now it's good lighting.
So no, it's not a matter of lighting. What do you mean?
You see it. Good.
Doesn't matter. But that the
yeah. I'm gonna ask.
What do they do here?
About what?
Laney, how many aliyahs lane at night? Yeah. It's a matter of halach. At night you don't lane. You lane by day. The Chazal will only misaking in very specific times. You cannot take out a Sefer Torah and lane with a bracha whenever you want. This was established 2,000 years ago by Chazal, when to lane. Chazal did not establish, it's clear, they never established that you should lane at night, period. And they never established you should lane Simchas Torah at night. This doesn't exist, such a thing. So when did this come about? 400 years ago? What right do we have 400 years ago to go
is
make...
Arizal?
No, not the laning. Yes. The laning is... I don't even know. I don't know. I don't think it's Arizal. I don't know. Yeah.
You had told us before Yom Kippur we needed three...
Yahrzeit candles.
Now, what's the setup for Yom Kippur?
Okay, very good question. For Yahrzeit, this year it's a two-day. So the Yahrzeit is... It's Lichatchila, you should buy a two-day Yahrzeit candle, not a one-day Yahrzeit candle, and you should light it Erev Yom Tov. And that's true for Pesach, Achron Shel Pesach, and that's true for Shavuos. Because to light the Yahrzeit candle... To light the Yahrzeit candle on Yom Tov itself... It's a question if this is called a tzarech mitzvah. Is this tzarech achol nefesh? Well, it's not achol nefesh. It's not achol nefesh. But mitoich shehotra litzarech, hotra shaloi litzarech, provided that the shaloi litzarech is litzarech mitzvah. Okay, you like to take a sitter to the Beis HaKnesses? Yes. Why?
Could you use it for light?
A Yahrzeit candle you cannot use for light. A Yahrzeit candle is nothing. Don't use it for illumination. No. It's also, it's chutzah for the neshama.
For the first part of Yom Tov, well, there are two parts.
Yes.
There are two, 3 days, all right? So we don't have Yisgur.
Right. So there's no need for Yahrzeit candle the first day.
So what do you need? Just for the fire source?
Yeah. That's
but
not
your yeah. Abdullah doesn't enter
no.
into it.
No, there's no Ner Sheshavas.
Okay. So
no.
One. And then two, the second part of Yom Tov. One for fire source and
right.
And
if you happen to need a Yahrzeit candle for fire a source of fire, because the range is not on.
So take a three.
Okay, if you don't have a range, or let's say you have an electric stove or things like that, so you don't have an open fire, if you need to have an open for practical purposes, you're going to use what we call a yahrzeit candle to provide illumination, right? But that's not a yahrzeit, that's not a halachic practice, that's not a halacha. You need to have an open flame so you can use for cooking or for lighting candles. Lighting candles are at night. So you have a yahrzeit candle for fire. But as far as Havdalah, no such thing. There's no Ner Sheshavas Mitzoyah Shmini Atzeres.
Okay, question.
Right. And as far as yahrzeit is concerned, you have to have a designated candle for the neshama. So you don't have to have one for each neshama. Mm-hmm. One yahrzeit candle is enough. Is it really enough for everyone in the family?
Make a tanai and let it use it for
no.
Friday and
no,
Shabbos?
No, no, no. No tanai. It doesn't work. No tanai. No tanai. A yahrzeit candle for a neshama, there's no conditions. A yahrzeit candle for a neshama is enough. When do you light that yahrzeit candle? Yizkor is only on the last day. So can you light it on the last day?
Yizkor is on
Shmini Atzeres. I'm sorry. I'm all confused. You're right. Shmini Atzeres. So I'm all confused. You're right. So you don't need 2 days. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. That's when it's Shabbos before. I was thinking in a situation where you would have a Shabbos before. If you have a Shabbos before, but you don't have a Shabbos before. So therefore you light it before Yom Tov begins. Let us say you forgot. Let us say, for example, you forgot to light the yahrzeit candle before Shabbos, before Yom Tov begins, before Shmini Atzeres, and now it's already at night, and you come and you realize, oh, I forgot to light the yahrzeit candle. Can I light it now? There's an old Shiloh. Rabbi Belsky is very famous for saying, better not. Better not. You're not going to lose out anything. The neshama will have the same zuchus. It's not clear in halacha if the lighting of a yahrzeit candle is called a mitzvah. And therefore, if you forget to light the yahrzeit candle before Yom Tov begins, it is advisable for you not to light the yahrzeit candle once Yom Tov begins. However, if your whole life you've been lighting the yahrzeit, for the last 50 years, you've been lighting a yahrzeit candle, and it's going to eat you up to no end, you're going to go out of your mind, you're going to lose sleep that you forgot to light the yahrzeit candle, then you can. If it really bothers you a lot and you really want to light it, then you can be maker and you can light the yahrzeit candle. But if it doesn't bother you, your conscience doesn't bother you, and it should not, he says it's preferred, it's not called Mitzvah Mitzvah. What?
A guy,
L'chariyah. A guy can even light regular Shabbos candles, so why can't you light this? Yeah, a guy L'chariyah, yeah. What, the yahrzeit candle? Minog. Minog, it's not, there's no din for the yahrzeit candle, it's pure minog. Okay, let me just conclude maybe with one, I know it's late, so to conclude, let me just say over states, loads, right? One has a lot of. I don't know, let me just. Eric, don't forget to make an Erev Tavshilin, okay? I wanted to make an addendum. Okay, let me just conclude this. An addendum to what we said yesterday. I was thinking about this. Okay, this is a half-baked idea. It's an addendum to what we told yesterday. The Nusach HaTfilah on Rosh Hashanah, we say, V'chein tein pachticha al kol ma'asecha, V'imoshal kol ma'ashibarasa, V'iru'uch kol ha'masim, V'yishtachavu lefenecha kol ha'bluim, and then V'yosu kulam agud achas la'asos v'tzon ha'bulei vav sholem. So yesterday, we suggested that when the mitzvah of Sukkot is the aguda achas, each one of the dalad midim represents a different member of a different group in Klal Yisrael, tam v'reach, Torah mitzvahs, Torah v'le mitzvahs, mitzvah v'le, and then nothing, we have to all come together in achdus. How do we come together in achdus? So we learn from the Nusach HaTfilah, the glue that keeps us together is Yirah Shamayim. It's fear. Yirah Shamayim is pachad. And how do we show that? We shake. When you shake, Vayechad Yitzhak Harada Gedoyla, what is the target? Vayechad, he shook, Nanua. When we shake, the glue which creates Achdus and Klal Yisrael is Yirah Shamayim. If we have fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mimela will be able to come together and find common ground, even though we're so different than one another. Now the only addendum one, and how do we derive Yirah Shamayim? We then take the down, we go around the bima, we go around the Torah. The Torah is the source of Yirah Shamayim. By devoting ourselves to Torah mitzvos, that's where we draw Yirah Shamayim. The addendum I want to suggest to you today is: look, there are four different parts to this nusach. Pachad, there is Yirah, Eima, and Ishtachava. I want to suggest that these four different words correspond to the four minim, the Esrog, the Lulav, the Hadas, and the Arava. The spine, how does the spine show this, what does the Lulav correspond to? Which part of the body? Besides the fact that the Dal Minim correspond to four different types of Jews, the four Minim correspond to four different parts of the body. The Lulav corresponds to the spine. What do we do to show fear? How does the spine show fear to Hashem? It bows down. When you daven, when you say modim, Chazal say the spine has to bend all the way, 18 vertebrae in the spine, each one of the 18 must bend. The way the spine shows fear is the yishtachavu lifanecha kol ham, it's to bow. So the bowing in the Nusach and Rosh Hashanah corresponds to the spine. How does the heart show fear? What expression is used? Yira. Dover hamoser liliboy sheladam nemar bo v'yoreisa me'elohecha. Rashi says this expression numerous times in the Chumash. Dover shemoser liliboy sheladam nemar bo v'yoreisa. Yira is a term that is exclusively used in reference to the heart. The esreg is the heart. Now, here are the two which I do not know, but I'm willing to bet my bottom buck I can find them a card to prove that I'm right. Just give me more time to find, do some research. Eyes. What is the proper word for eyes? When eyes express fear. Pachad. Pachad. And lips. Lips, speech, is expressed ema. I think in the Nusach HaTfil, Yitaki say, Hinni Hani Mimas, Yitaki talk about ema. Ema is the word ema is when you say okay, that's the nifchas, it's kasha, okay, this is not. But I believe I can find you a makar that the word ema is the proper word to use to refer to speech. Our raw voice are lips. Lips are speech. When the lips are showing fear, the term is ema. When the eyes are afraid of what it sees, the term is pachad. Vayishava Yitzchak bepachad Yitzchak aviv. By the way, Yitzchak was blind. Blind. Why was he blind? Why was he blind, Yitzchak? So there are different opinions. Why? But one of the reasons why he was blind was because the whole mahus of Yitzchak was fear, was pachad Yitzchak, and pachad relates to the eye. The pachad of Yitzchak was azoy grois. The eye is already shut down. You see what? Hadassim. So hadassim are the eyes. The aravos are the lips. The spine is the lulav. And what are we leaving out? And the esrog is the heart. So isn't it a pella? Then the nusach of Rosh Hashanah, we say mamish these four things. We say uvechein tein pachtucha al kol ma'asecha. Pachad is the eyes. V'eimasecha is the lips al kol ma'asecha. V'yiraucha yira is the heart, is the esrog. V'yishtachavu lecha kol abruim. That's the spun. That's the lulav. And then when all four express yira, You shake. Shaking is pachad. Vayechrad Yitzchak harada gedoy la'ad me'od. When you have the glue, v'yosu kulon aguda achas. The avoidav is to come aguda achas. And the aguda achas only comes from Torah, which is the purpose of the shir, to come to the morning kollel, to learn, to derive Yirah Shemayim. Yeah. Have a wonderful Yom Tov. A wonderful Yom Tov. A simchas simchad Yom Tov. All the best to all you all. Yeah. Yeah.